All right, once again, we continue our...
This will be... We have two more petition to go, but I will not be able to cover the sixth petition because I won't be around. Sixth petition, 4 months' time, God willing. I think so.
Nowadays, I meant it. And those of us who know and understand, we really must add this word if the Lord is willing. So, Matthew chapter 6. And so far, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, a good evening and welcome back to our worship service, though we are small in numbers. Thank God for giving us grace and strength to come once again. I know that it has been a long day for all of you, but we thank God for another opportunity to worship, to have fellowship with one another, to encourage one another in the Lord. Yes, I got the chapter. So we have learned so far in the study of the Lord's Prayer the principles concerning what it is to pray. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And all these first three of the petitions concerns the glory of God. And it teaches us to give preeminence to God and to venerate God's name. So when we come before the throne of grace, let us put all this in order, that the glory of God must come first. That, as I said before, we do not want to rush into the throne room of God with all our requests, but first of all, to acknowledge Him and to venerate His name. And by placing these prayer items in such an order, the Lord Jesus is further teaching us that God's glory and God's honor far outweigh all our earthly concerns, all our personal affairs, and all our personal well-being. Yes, it is important, and God cares for us, but in terms of position and honor, God must always be placed in the top of our prayer list, so to speak. God's glory is far more than heaven, far more than the salvation of all man's soul. We are to prefer God's glory before our personal concern. And so right now, in this fourth petition, which is the beginning of the petition that concern our welfare, our well-being. First three concerns God. Now, the next few concern us. And even those prayer items that concerns us, the principles here is that we must always put God's place God's glory before us, our own concern. But we are to prefer God's glory to our personal well-being. But before we can do that, one very important point. Before we can prefer God's glory to our personal well-being, we must be born again, isn't it? In and of ourselves, in our natural state, we have no desire to glorify God. But so I trust that those of us, all of us here, you are a born-again Christians. And as I said, this prayer, or this pattern of prayer, this model of prayer that the Lord Jesus is teaching His disciples is for the Christians. It is not for the non-believers. And so before we prefer God's glory, we must be born again, spiritually born again into the family of God. Fallen men and women, in their natural state, seek only after their own secular interests and their selfish good, but not after the glory of God. But God's people, those of us who are in Christ, united with Him, we must have a growing desire and a yearning or an interest to admiring God, to advance His kingdom, to serve Him, to glorify Him. Those of us who are saved by grace must have that growing desire to see the glory of God magnified more and more. In this first petitions that concern our personal welfare or our private well-being, what does "give us this day our daily bread" reveals to us? First of all, we want to consider what this prayer does not teach us. Though this prayer that regards our daily needs and comfort is placed before the other two petitions. What is the other two petitions? Forgive our trespasses and lead us not into temptation. And these are spiritual blessings for our souls. I'm talking about the last two. Forgive us of our sins and lead us not into temptation, which are spiritual blessings for our souls. But so though our personal well-being and concern are placed in front of these two, it does not indicate that earthly blessings are better and more considerable than heavenly, or that our temporal earthly needs should take precedence over the spiritual benefits of our soul. This is not what this verse is talking about, or not what Jesus is teaching us by placing it in this order. Secondly, placing this prayer in such an order does not in any way also contradict Jesus' teaching elsewhere, where? In Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, with a promise that all other earthly things shall be added to us." So this fourth petition does not contradict, and we're going to see why. For those who do not take the word bread literally or figuratively speaking, they say that there is a contradiction. And this contradiction has led some to this seemingly contradictions has led some to interpret that this bread which we are here is not any temporal good thing, but referring to the bread of life, even Christ himself. Which means we are taught here to pray that Jesus or Christ will give us or reveal himself more to us in a spiritual sense. For us, we do not agree to such mystical interpretation of this text, but to take the word bread as figurative, denoting all kinds of provisions necessary for our natural life, and that includes all things conducive to maintain health, or to recover it, or to preserve life, or to prolong life. So the word bread that Jesus used here has a very broad meaning, in that sense that it encompasses any other thing that you and I need for our physical well-being. It's not just referring to food. Anything that will maintain our health, that will prolong our life, that will preserve life. So having considered what this prayer does not teach us, we naturally should follow with the next. So what does this prayer teach us? So this prayer teaches us this. By ordering this prayer in such a manner, the Lord Jesus is showing the disciples and to all of us God's providential care towards us in first giving us life and the necessities of life, and then follow with spiritual and heavenly blessing as an addition to those things needful to us. Alright? Just like in the case of Elijah, I do not know whether you noticed that. In the case of Elijah, when he ran for his life into the wilderness after the threat from Jezebel, what happened to him? Before God can send him back to the ministry which he was called to, God first gave him rest and nourishment. Did you realize that? Which were needful for Elijah. Which were needful. The word here is needful or necessary for life. And so think of it this way, friend. If you and I do not have the nourishment that comes from our intake of daily food, and all the temporary necessities of life to maintain our health, how can you and I come together in such a manner to worship God and to serve God together? It is not possible, is it? So you see, God in His wisdom very logically placed everything in such an order for us, isn't it? For our good. God, you know, there are people who want to mystify or spiritualize, should I say, everything. Oh, you know, they say, oh, not necessary to do this, not necessary to do that. All these things are of the world. No. God is concerned with our soul as well as of our bodies, physical bodies and of our minds. And so God, in His wisdom, has designed and created man and woman with a body and a soul, and each complement each other. Secondly, because we are usually more sensible or more interested in our temporal needs than our spiritual needs, the Lord Jesus therefore intends to use this, to put this, our temporal need in the first of the least, right, is to raise in our hearts a greater awareness that as much as we need to pray for our temporal needs of our body, right, that will eventually die, how much more important we ought to earnestly pray for the spiritual needs of our soul that will live forever. If believers must pray fervently and affectionately for our daily bread, which can only nourish us or our bodies for a few short years, after which it will decompose in the grave, how much more importunate ought we to be for the pardon of our sins and for those spiritual mercies and blessings without which our precious and immortal souls must eternally perish. This body must go, but the soul of man lives forever. This is what God has made us to be. So having considered what this prayer does not teach us and what this prayer teaches us, we have considered very briefly a few points. I want to go very quickly now to the principles of this fourth petition. So then, what are the principles we can glean from this prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. And so for the third section of this passage, we want to look at the principles set out for us in these petitions. Before that, we must note something. That this petition, as I said, concerns our physical well-being. It does not concern our spiritual well-being. Therefore, the summary of this petition is that God would grant us all temporal and earthly blessings such as are beneficial and necessary for our well-being while here in this life. As I said before, there are many people who want to spiritualize everything, and there are people who like to quote from the Apostle Paul, who instructed young Timothy, who was a pastor of the church at that time, that physical exercise profiteth little, meaning to say it is to remind or to teach Timothy to be more involved and discipline himself in the spiritual affairs of his life. But notice the word there. It is not no profit. Exercise profiteth little. Not profiteth nothing at all. So therefore, those of us who need exercise, go and exercise, please. Alright? Little, not no profit at all. So Paul is not teaching Timothy not to exercise and I'll sit down and just do his study and make sure he knows the word of God and that's it. No. Here, and from here you can see that God is concerned of our physical well-being and not spiritualize everything. If you need rest, go and rest. our bodies and our soul is all very intricately woven together. You know, I know that there are some people who criticize another Christians for his very or her very un-Christ-like behavior. You know, but not realizing that the person is very irritable because the person has not enough sleep, and it is proven medically. If you have not enough sleep, the slightest thing will irritate you and you blow your top. And so if you need to sleep, you need rest, go and rest. Your body needs it. God has designed that. That is not possible for you not to have sleep, and you do not have enough sleep, you will feel irritated. And of course there are others saying that, for example, a hungry man is an angry man. And my wife knows it. When I'm hungry, or else stop. I will not torture myself and suffer gastric, because I suffered that before, because of my work the last time, and I learned it. And we are responsible for our own bodies, physical bodies, I mean. It is our responsibility to take care of it, and that is why God has provided us doctors and experts in this area to help us. The nutritionists and the dietitian and whatever to help us. Alright? And so therefore we have to appropriate all this. It is all for us to use. So do not spiritualize everything. And here you see that God will grant all our temporal and earthly blessings such as are beneficial and necessary for our well-being while here in this life. And so the fourth petition is much like the prayer of Agur in Proverbs, who prayed this: Lord, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Proverbs 30 verse 8. And the word convenient means prescribed or due to me. Give me food due to me or due for me. The good things about this, the good things of this life are the gifts of God. For He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. James 1:17. And God delights to give us who are His children. He delights to bless us with all the things that are needful for our life. We need to make this fourth petition our petition because we are poor and we are in great need of both spiritual and physical blessings. We need God. We need God to bless us both physically and spiritually. But there are those who have the audacity to contend that it is through their hard work and industry that has gotten them the wealth, and it has nothing to do with God. I'm sure you heard that. And there are times that we ourselves have such attitude, isn't it? We tell ourselves, I reach my current position because I work hard for it. Now here, I want to say this. From our understanding of Scripture, we as God's people, we do not deny the fact that it is man's responsibility to exercise their skill and the necessary use of industry to gain wealth. We don't deny that. We don't deny that we must work hard to gain wealth, to rise up in our career. We don't deny that. We must do within the responsibility. However, let none of us forget who is the one behind man's achievement. Moses reminded the children of Israel, and it is a very timely reminder for all of us, young and old. It is He, God, that giveth thee power to get wealth. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. It is He, referring to God, that have given thee power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. All we have is from the hand of God's royal bounty. We have nothing but what God gives out of His storehouse. We cannot have one bit of bread to put in our mouth unless God give it to us. And not only that, I must add, God also gives the blessing to enjoy the bread that He gives us. Do you know that you can have bread, all the bread that you need or that you want, and yet you have no blessing to enjoy? I shared this with some of you before, and perhaps I want to share it again. Many years ago, I was stricken with a very high temperature. It is about 40 to 42 degrees C, and I have to immediately be admitted into the hospital. And no blanket, no nothing, but ice, and the fan is blasting at me to keep my temperature down, because I suffered from the inflammation of the bronchitis. It was shivering, you know, in front of the doctors, and straight away said, "You must be admitted." And so I remember very clearly my late father, very kindly, he visited me. But before that, he went down to Chinatown in Singapore, bought the most delicious chicken noodles. And that's the best in Singapore, in Chinatown. And he bought it for me and gave it to me. I only took one bite and I threw it out. Why? The fever has already caused my taste bud to numb. I cannot enjoy it. I cannot enjoy it. And so it dawns on me as I learn from the Word of God that it is God who gave us the blessing to enjoy all that He has blessed us with. Do you know that you can have a big house, big car, big everything? You can even have pearly gates for your house. You can have 1,000 or more servants that will bow down to you and give you all the reverence and honor that you want. But if God does not give you that blessing to enjoy all that you have, it avails to nothing. And that is the amazing thing, isn't it, that I came to realize. You can have it. You can have all the money, all the wealth, all the cars, all the everything that you can ever ask for in this life through your hard work. You can have it. God can allow you to have it. But He will just take that blessing away from you to really enjoy it. And that's why there are so many people who are so rich, but yet when you ask them, are they really happy people? They are not. Why? Because God did not give them that blessing to enjoy the fruit of their labor. It is strange, but these things are true. So the fourth petition here should humble us before God. For if we in our pride think that we can live without dependence upon God's supply, then what need is there for the Lord Jesus to teach us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Think of it this way, brethren. If we are not poor and dependent upon God and need God, why does the Lord Jesus have to teach us to pray this prayer? There is no need for the Lord Jesus to teach us to pray this prayer if we do not need God, if we are not poor, if we are not dependent upon God. So I want to raise up three principles that we can learn from this petition. Number one, the principles from this fourth petition. Number one, we may lawfully pray for temporal mercies and blessing. Although we are taught elsewhere in the Bible not to set our hearts on the things of this world, yet it is no sin. It is not wrong or unworthy of a Christian to plead at God's hand those mercies and blessings that He knows, that God knows, are needful for the support and the comfort of our life on this side of eternity. There's nothing wrong for you to pray for that the Lord will shower His mercy and blessings upon you that are needful for your physical well-being. We find, for example, in Jacob's prayer, what did he pray? Jacob, while saying, If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Where is this prayer? Genesis 28, verse 20 and 21. So you see for here, for yourself, that even Jacob prayed that prayer, that the Lord will bless him with bread and clothes to put on. You may say that he set a condition for the Lord in that sense. True. But yet it is a prayer that he made to the Lord. And the Lord was gracious. You know the outcome of Jacob. The Lord did bless him and deliver him and multiply him so richly. His prayer was answered. And indeed, there is a great deal of reason and ground to pray for these things, for they are both needful for us, and God has promised to give them to us. For God is not weary of giving us such things, but in fact delight in giving us all that we needed in this life. You can be assured of that, brothers and sisters in Christ. Whatever that is needful for you, to keep you in good health, to give you strength for the work, and whatever that is necessary for you to maintain your life and your well-being here, God delights in giving it to you. What is needful? It is God's appointed means for the preservation of our temporal life and being to provide us with what is needful so that we have many opportunities to serve and to glorify Him and to express our thanksgiving to Him. These are opportunities for us to give thanks to. As we receive all these blessings from the Lord, all this physical well-being, promotion in our jobs, a very nice house over our heads, a clean and comfortable bed that we can lie on each night, and money sufficient for us for our supply and all this. It is God's blessing. And as we receive all this, what do? We acknowledge that it is from God and we give thanks to Him. So these are opportunities and the means that God has given us to glorify Him and to praise Him. And therefore we stand obliged to pray that God would furnish us or to afford us those necessities that may contribute to the prolonging of our natural life till we finish the work here that the Lord has called us to. And we are made fit to meet the Lord Jesus and to receive from Him our heavenly reward. Meanwhile, as we journey on, as we serve the Lord knows that we need all this nourishment to keep us going so that we can serve the Lord. How else can you serve the Lord when you are weak? When you are undernourished, so to speak? Will you be able to come to the house of the Lord to worship together with the brethren, to serve together with the brethren? You're not able to because you do not have enough food. So God will see to that need. The second principle, God has promised to give us those temporary good things that are needful for us. How does God keep His promises to His people? Have you considered that? How does God keep His promises to His people? He fulfills it and brings it to pass what He has promised. Psalm 50 verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver thee. And says the Apostle Paul, my God shall supply all your needs. Philippians 4:19. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly, says the psalmist in Psalm 84 verse 11. And so from all these promises that God has made, we see that just as oil is needful for the preserving of the lamp from going out, so temporary good things may be prayed for, both because they are needful and useful for us, and because God has promised them to us. So it is lawful, it is right, and it is good for us to pray for those things that, those physical things that we need in this life to keep us going, to sustain our life, for our necessities. We need clothing, isn't it? Otherwise, how are we going to stand the winter of this country? impossible, right? Think of it. However, there is a difference we must take note. And this brings us to the third principle. Listen to this very carefully. There is a difference. The difference is this. Temporal good things must be prayed for only conditionally and not absolutely. By that, what do I mean? Temporal good things must be prayed for only conditionally and not absolutely. Why is there such a limitation when we pray for the provision of our temporary good, for the temporary good things of this life which are needful for our life? Why is there a limitation or conditional? This is because the supply of temporal good things are only conditionally promised by God. And these conditions are of twofold. Number one, you and I are can lawfully pray for all these things that we needed, all these physical things that we needed, provided or as long as the first condition is met. And then I'll tell you the second. The first condition is this. As long as the requests for such good things are consistent with God's pleasure, or as we commonly will say, according to God's will. So that is why it is conditional, is it? God will not provide you with a Ferrari if He knows that you're going to kill yourself in a Ferrari. God is not going to provide you with tons of gold when He knows that you cannot handle wealth. God is not going to bless you to be the chief executive officer of Vodafone because He knows that you cannot handle the pride and your head will swell. Just an example. There are people who are not able to handle certain things that the Lord that they wish for. And God is not going to bless them because God knows them. I'm one of them. I cannot handle money very well. There's a joke that my friends make to me. He said, "You are not able to handle wealth." I say, "Why?" He said, "Look at your fingers. See, when you put it, all the gaps are there. Everything will flow through. That's why in the bank account, no saving at all, zero. See? All these gaps." I mean, the Chinese think of all this because they look at all this palm and what have you, and then they say, "Oh, yeah, you terrible." I say, "Why? You're not rich. How come?" "Oh, because you see all this gap. All floating." So here, I want to tell all of us that this is conditional because as long as our prayers are not consistent to God's will, and God knows that it is not for our good, He will not grant it to us. Number two. Second condition. As long as the requests for such things are conducible or conducive to our good, for without the observing for the first condition, our request will not so much seem to be a petition, but to invade into God's will. And without observing the second condition, we are in fact asking for a curse instead of a blessing. Because we do not know better. God knows us better. God knows why He has to hold back that blessing from us. Because He sees into the future. He sees that if we have that, it may become a snare to us in the future. It may not be immediate, but it may be a snare to us. And therefore, He holds it back. So, in praying for spiritual things, we must be absolute. Not conditional. Conditional only for temporal things. But in spiritual things, we must be absolute. When we pray for pardon of sin and the favor of God and the sanctifying grace of the Holy Spirit, this must be absolute. Why? Because it is indispensably necessary to salvation. And you and I must not take no for an answer. You must continue to plead that the Lord will grant grace. So spiritual things, we must be absolute. Temporary things,
it must be conditional, according to God's will, and only if it is for our good. But when we pray for temporal things, our prayer must be limited. As far as God sees them good for us, He has good reason at certain time to withhold temporal blessings from us. When such things would be, as I said before, when such thing would be a snare to us and draw us away from God. That draws us or come between us and God. That sometimes we may make that items to be an idol to us that comes between us and God. Therefore, we do well to pray for those temporal things with submission to God's will that will profit us. To wrap up this sermon, I'd like to consider lastly with you two very important words which was what I wanted to say this morning when I told you all that if you can come for the evening worship service, please come. Because these two important words in this petition sets a limitation to our prayer in respect of time. And you may guess it here. The two important words are this day. Give us this day our daily bread. The Lord Jesus has very good reason to teach us not to pray, give us bread for a month, for a year, but a day. Give us this day. And there are two main reasons why we are taught with regard to our temporal well-being to pray, give us this day our bread. Yes, it is lawful for us to prepare for the future, and we must. We have the responsibility to prepare for our future. Put aside some savings for whatever, for emergency, contingency sum, for medical and all. We have that responsibility, yes. It is lawful to prepare for the future. As the Apostle Paul rightly say what? If any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, meaning to say for his own family, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. 1 Timothy 5 verse 8. Alright? So it is lawful for us to prepare for the future because the Apostle Paul teach us this in 1 Timothy 5:8, that we are to provide for ourselves, and those who do not provide for themselves or for their family, he had denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. But the reason for Jesus teaching us this day is firstly that we believers should not have an anxious care for the future like those of the people of the world. That is why Jesus is teaching us here to pray for our temporary this day. Because he does not want his people to be worrying and concerned of the future like those people in the world, anxious, worrying. We should not torment ourselves or be unduly concerned to lay up great wealth for the future, for our family, for ourselves, for our children. We must do our responsibility, but not excessively to the point of being extreme. We must learn to be contented. If we have enough supply for the present, it should be sufficient. Jesus in Matthew 6:34 says, take no thought for tomorrow. It does not mean no planning. It means do not worry. Don't quote this verse. No need to plan. Why? Take no thought for tomorrow. No need to plan for the tomorrow. That is not the interpretation of Matthew 6:34. Take no thought for tomorrow means do not worry for the future. What is going to happen next? God more than adequately fed Israel with manna in the wilderness. And you know that account. And he fed them what? From hand to mouth. Do you know that God fed the children of Israel 40 years in the wilderness from hand to mouth? Do you know there was no leftover manna each day? no leftover. Not like, you know, our sister Rachel right now works in this place. She, whoa, very happy. We are very glad that she comes to us with all these leftovers, not so. Wow, still fresh. And we all enjoy it. But do you know, the 40 years in the wilderness, no balance. Also, you may say that. Hand to mouth. On the eve of the Sabbath day, two portions. Every day, one portion. On the eve, so that the Sabbath day, they are not supposed to work, they are not supposed to go out to collect, two portions. No leftover. Just nice. So God more than adequately fed the children of Israel with manna. Just as God has fed the prophet Elijah with bread and flesh through the ravens day by day. 1 Kings 17, verse 4 to 6. So God will likewise, brethren, you can be assured of that. God will likewise rain down manna from heaven. What we need. If we have bread today, let us not distrust God's providence for the future, for tomorrow. If we have bread today, if He has provided all that we needed for today, be assured that He will continue to provide for the tomorrow, if it is His will to give you life and health for tomorrow. He will do that. The second reason for Jesus' lesson on this day is to teach us to live every day as if it were our last. I said this. We cannot be certain tomorrow will come. Tomorrow may not come for us, for some of us. And so here the second lesson is to teach us this day, is to teach us to live every day as if it were our last. We are not to pray, give us bread tomorrow, because we do not know whether we shall live till tomorrow. But give us this day. It may be the last day we shall live, and then we shall need no more. We shall need no more. If we pray for bread for a day only, then those of us who have plenty of supply in our storeroom have good reason or good cause to be thankful, isn't it? If you pray that the Lord will supply your need for today, but yet in your storehouse you have more than sufficiently been supplied, you have very good reason to praise and thank God that He did not only provide you for today, but He has provided you much more. You have more than prayed for. You pray but for bread for one day, and God has given you enough to supply you for your whole life. And therefore you have every reason to praise and thank God, isn't it? And I'm sure this is the case for many of us. We are very blessed. Those of us from Singapore and in this country, we are blessed. We have more than sufficient, isn't it? And though we pray, Lord, give us this day, but yet God has already supplied us more than what we need today. Above all else, remember. So you see here, is God not a wonderful and bountiful Father whom we serve? An elder in Life Bible Presbyterian Church, where I come from in Singapore, this elder used to tell us and remind us young people, God is no debtor. And this phrase, this statement sticks with me for many years. God is no debtor. And how true. As God's redeemed people, we must be thankful to God for giving us more than we deserve. And He gave us more than we pray for. Above all else, He gave himself to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. If you, brothers and sisters in Christ, have El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, for your portion, to be your Heavenly Father, should you be dissatisfied or discontent? You who are children of the King, and or you claim to be one, and if God is your El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, should you be dissatisfied or discontent? Or perhaps I should put it the question in another way. Is El Shaddai, the sufficient God, your portion? Is He your God, your Heavenly Father? If not, let us turn to Him. He desires to be our Father. He desires and delights in blessing us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. And He delights in blessing us all that we needed and necessary for our life here in this sinless world. And He will promise, and He will fulfill all that He has promised to us. Let us pray. Gracious, mighty God, eternal Father, we thank You for Your eternal promises, and You have brought to pass all that You have declared in Your Word. And we know, as we await, Lord, as we wait upon You, we know that You will continue to fulfill all Your promises. Father, we thank You so much that we have a God who is our Heavenly Father, who delights to bless us so richly. Lord, all we need to do is to plead and to ask. In humility, come before You and to call upon Your name and to learn to trust in You and not to distrust You. Oh Lord, give us the faith to believe, give us the faith to trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Bless us, Thy people, Lord, as we begin the new week, as we go about our various responsibilities and duties in this new week. We pray that You will go before us and go with us, and we ask that You will pour forth Your blessing upon us, and we pray for Your presence to continue to be with Your people, to guide each one of us in every step of the way in this new week, and help us that we may live for You and glorify Thy holy name. In Jesus' name, Amen.